are new here or you have a prayer request, right in front of you is a prayer request card. And go ahead and fill that out. You can either put it in the communion on the offering plate or in the back on your way out. Either which way, it'll get prayed for. And if you have something to give, it will get counted. I'm going to go ahead and pray over that offering before you guys go back. All right, let us pray. Lord, thank you for provision, for providing for us. And even though we can sit here and take credit for the dollars that we've earned, we're humbled by the fact that you gave us the brain and the hands to earn it with. And so with that very same heart of gladness, we give back to your kingdom. And we just pray that as your leaders in your church, that we use these funds in a way that's glorifying to you. We love you and we thank you in Christ Jesus' name. All of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Got some new people in the room. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Leonard Small. I am one of the staff ministers here at Hope Church. My background is I'm currently a teacher, but I've also did 20 years in the military. Both are very stressful jobs in war zones, so to speak. But I can tell you, as I was by trade a sailor, but half of my career was spent with the Marines. And in the Marines, they have this thing called gear inspections. We did it in the Navy too, but for the Marines, it was very important. You know, in the Navy, we had this thing called a sea bag. It's pretty much a tall duffel bag, green, about that tall from the ground. And this is where we kept all our underwear, shirts, uniforms. You know, when you see the pictures of the guys come off ship, this big old green duffel bag they're carrying it back. It's important that you have a set number of underwear, because over a certain period of time on the ship, there's only so many different ways you can rotate and change your underwear, all right? And they don't always come back clean, because everything gets cleaned in one area on the ship, and it's terrible. So, but on the green side, as we call it in the Navy, on the green side, when I was with the Marines, we had what they call 782 gear. Why they call it 782? Because if you lost it, it's going to cost you $782 to replace it. And so we would take our gear and we would lay it all out. And our inspectors would come by and make sure we had all of our uniforms. But the most important stuff was the armor. It was the Kevlar vest. It was having the right steel toe boots, because you can't go into warfare with, you know, flip-flops or Nikes, right? So you had to have your Kevlar, which is that big old bucket helmet that we used to wear. And we find ourselves smack dab in the midst of a series on the armor of God. So if you have your devices or if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to go down to, I think it's around verse 10, between verse 10 and 20. We're going to start there. Take off. This is a good day to have an electronic device, because we got a few verses we're going to have to traverse. But with that in mind, keep that in mind when I talk about having the prerequisite gear before you go into battle. Keep that in mind as we talk through Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Why are we concerned about our armor? It tells you right there. We are preparing for the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look around the room. The people you see here are not your enemy. I'm not your enemy. We don't wrestle with people, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up not a piece, not a part. Oh, I forgot to bring this. No, you will put on the whole armor. Amen? That you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand firm, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, Pastor Chip talked about last week, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's what we're going to talk about today, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, because sometimes we get lazy. We leave our shield laying around. It's, you know, it's heavy. I get it. Make sure you got it. In which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one and take on the helmet of salvation. Put a little asterisk there. The number one thing we should have on our mind is our salvation. All right, I just want to make sure that you guys catch that one out of all of them, because there's a lot of things that the evil one wants us to have on our mind. It may be a red hat or a blue hat. It may be fill in the blank. But it says, what on your head? The helmet of salvation. You should be thinking about keeping yourself saved all the time. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, our only offensive weapon, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Lord, as we get ready to trudge through this idea of the breastplate of righteousness, we just pray that every weight, sin, distraction, whether that's internal or external, that we just lay it all at your feet, and that we be prepared to sup and eat this meat of the word. And Lord, we want your word to take root. We don't want to just waste a half an hour of our day just going through the motions of having church. We want to have an encounter with you, Lord. We want to see you in a different way. We want to hear your word. Want that seed to be planted and for it to bear much fruit. In God's name, all of God's people said amen. 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 Breastplate of righteousness. So, in case you don't know, much like my 782 gear, it was given to me for free. And for the Roman soldier, they didn't bring their armor from wherever. They weren't professional soldiers. They were farmers. They had jobs. You know, they had ways to protect their family, but then the emperor would call them into the conscription, which is to call them into battle. And so when they get conscripted, they don't bring shovels and rakes, and you know, baker doesn't bring bread to fight with. They put on the armor that's provided by the emperor. They don't have to dig into their pockets and rustle up some change to buy a helmet or put on a breastplate of righteousness. They go into battle for what was provided for them. And the same thing goes for your life in the spirit. You don't have to dig deep and muster up the energy and effort and put things together to put on this armor. It is provided, and that is good news. Amen? Amen. We don't have to provide ways to fight the schemes of the devil. But let's set the groundwork for what the breastplate is for. In the military, we had this Kevlar vest. It was very heavy and it gets stinky over time, especially if you wear it every day. You can't wash it, so it's like all the accumulated funk just lingers. And not just you, but everybody who used it before you. So, but it's to protect your vital organs, you know, namely your heart and your lungs and all that. And the breastplate of righteousness has some of those very same components. But let's set the tone for what it's protecting. It's protecting our heart. That's good news and bad news, right? It depends on your status with Jesus. So Jesus says this in Mark chapter 20, verse 20 through 23. He says in verse 20, he said, what comes out of a person that defiles him? From within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So the very thing that God says that he wants to protect, unrepentant and unsaved, the only thing that comes from this right here is evil. everything, every atom, every plant, every animal throughout the universe screams the glory of God. All of creation, except one thing, the human heart. And this is the one reason why God, even though it may seem unfair that God would send what we would consider a good person to hell, but in God's economy, because he sees the intent, he says, there is none good, no, not one. But there is good news that is prophesied by the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 through 28. I'm not going to ask you to turn there because most people don't know where Ezekiel is in their Bible, but that's okay. I mean, that's not a bad thing. I don't usually go to Ezekiel all the time, but let's see what the prophet says in chapter 36. He says, and this is a prophecy, I will take from the nations and gather from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and she'll be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So you have this natural way that the human heart acts apart from God: rebellious, evil, slanderous, covetous, on its own, without prompting. That is the fallen nature of man. Thank you, Adam, right? That's bad news. But the good news that Ezekiel is talking about here in the second Adam is that he would change that heart of stone to one of flesh. Now, if you know anything about a heart of stone, you ain't got to worry about the fiery flames of the evil one, right? If you had a heart of stone, you ain't got to worry about flames or darts. just to be honest, if you don't find yourself in spiritual warfare, you may be on the wrong team. Amen. All right? Just something to think about. If you ain't really wrestling with evil in your own heart, maybe, hypothetical, I'm not saying, I'm pointing out anybody, saying any names, maybe he doesn't have a reason to attack you. All right, you go on the way he wants you to go. But I'm just saying. So this heart that goes from stone to one that is made flesh is now sensitive and vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. That's why you need a breastplate of righteousness. So if you look at your notes, point one, I'm going to give you 3 points. These 3 points are what scholars say. These are the biblical kind of concepts of the way the Bible talks about the human heart. I want to talk about those ways. I mean, you can read it throughout the Bible. When you see the word heart or soul, this is all interchangeable all throughout Scripture, but they're categorized in 3 major buckets, so to speak. First, I want to talk about is the breastplate, the physical heart, which the breastplate of righteousness protects life. I'm not talking metaphorical life. I'm talking about real life. And I want to take you all back to when Jesus met Nicodemus, and we all love John 3:16. But a little bit later in John chapter 3, he not only talks about, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, but he gives us a blueprint for how we can go into the kingdom of heaven. Anybody know? Like, we must be born. We must be born again. Now, my born again story, unfortunately, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't saved my whole life. And if you were, God bless you. But that's not my testimony. I was in Havelock, North Carolina. Raise your hand if you know where that's at. Nobody. All right. In a little storefront church that I really did not see coming, God caught me right where I was, and he turned my heart of stone into flesh. And from that day forward, we're not talking metaphorically, you know, God, my life being now different, we're talking actual, like my actual life. So when Paul is in Areopagus and he talked about the, you know, the unknown God, and he says this, that one of their poets, one of the poets said, he said, in him we live, in him we move, and we have our being. The Christian life isn't just some metaphorical kind of deeply spiritual thing that we just keep in the bucket of it's something personal and in the back room. No, the Christian life is actual. It is very literal. On that moment when I gave my life to Jesus back in December 1st, we were at a watch night, December 31st going into January 1st. In the black church, we have this thing called a watch night service. I gave my life to Jesus back in 2003, January 1st. And from that moment, every heartbeat after that was for the kingdom. Every breath I took was for his glory. Not metaphorically, but actually. And that is the beauty of the new life, that when you're born again, everything after that is for him and for his glory. Our physical heart. And if you have not experienced new birth, if you're questioning, should I actually give my life to Jesus? I will warn you that it will spill not only into this change that you have, which is a good thing when you have this personal faith and you kind of keep it to yourself, but it will spill over into your national life, because I will tell you, you will walk different. You that's why they call it the circumcision of the heart. You ever heard that statement before? You know, it says, you know, it said the old is passed away and the new. So the old circumcision and the new circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. The thing about the old covenant circumcision is after you had a circumcision as a male adult, you walk different, right? You're going to walk different. Trust me. All right. You don't have to find out. Trust me. Just take me in my word. You have an adult circumcision. You're going to walk different. And if you have a circumcision of the heart, same thing. You're going to walk different. You're going to do different stuff. Amen? Second thing that we're going to talk about is the psychological heart. The breastplate identifies allegiance. If you look at pictures of Roman soldiers, the lower level guys just got a flat piece of metal, but you knew they were a Roman soldier. The officers had, it was all ornate and had birds and all these different things on them. But either which way, you can tell, hey, that person belonged to Rome. And for the Christian, when we stand on the righteousness of God, it shows who we belong to. It shows our allegiance. And I want to draw your attention to Jesus in the garden. And when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is right before he's getting ready to get crucified. He said that he was on the ground and he was praying. It's called the high priestly prayer. And this is a prayer that Jesus was praying for you and me. Like, you could take it very personal. And as he was praying, it said that he was sweating drops of blood. It's called hemohidrosis. That's, you think you've had anxiety and fear? Think of how fearful you got to be to sweat blood. He knew what was coming. But he didn't say, okay, Lord, there's a lot of suffering. I'm going to try my best to avoid it. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He was anxious and depressed, getting ready to take on the punishment of our sin, so you don't have to be. You don't have to sit here sweating the coming judgment. You don't have to sit here and be anxious about when you finally see God face to face and cross your fingers, cross your legs, and hope you made it. We don't have to do that. We don't. Jesus says on the cross, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? So you don't have to. Theologians call this the great exchange. This is when God exchanges our sinfulness for his righteousness. His guilt and shame on the cross that you so rightfully deserve to feel, he in turn give you his righteousness. Point three. We're going to talk about the religious heart or the spiritual heart. The breastplate lacks and provides comfort. Now, that sounds both hypocritical and contradictory, right? How can it provide comfort and lack comfort? So back in right around 9/11, I was in the Mojave Desert training for desert warfare. And it was in the Mojave, 125 degrees on a cool day. On a cool day, it was 125. It would get up to 140. But in a desert environment, you don't have the luxury of taking off your helmet and your jacket. So we were sitting there, baking in a Humvee, 125 plus, with a helmet and a jacket. Now, for all the discomfort that this jacket gave me, I was also comforted by the fact that if I got shot in the chest, I'll be able to take a bullet. The same thing goes for the Christian walk. Being righteous, living a righteous life, is uncomfortable. I'm not going to give you all the Sunday school answer that living holy is easy and fun. No, it is pretty uncomfortable. All right? There are some things I see unholy people doing. I'm like, man, I'd love to just be a part of that. But for all the discomfort of living holy and living righteous before God, I am provided the comfort knowing that in my righteousness that I did not do, that he gave me, and I'm resting in it, that I also have the comfort knowing that I will be able to stand the fiery darts of the enemy. That is evident in John chapter 16, verse 32 through 33. Behold, it says, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, in the ESV it says tribulation, but take heart, I have come to overcome the world. In me, you're going to have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Now, he didn't say you can just run to me and not experience the trouble of the world. We all, as long as y'all are living inside this thing called flesh, are going to experience the trouble of the world. I don't care if you go to a desert island and try to hide or put yourself under a rock. Your brain, your heart, your soul is going to try to find a way to get you to think and do the opposite of God. In this world, not maybe, not possibly, you will have trouble. But in me, you're going to have peace. That's what Jesus says. And so we can't avoid, we can't walk around, we can't just surround ourselves with enough spirituality that we don't have to experience it. Just watch TV, scroll on Facebook, walk out here, watch the news. You'll find that there's trouble in this world. All right? If you're in a place, like, well, that won't be me. Well, let's give it about 10, 15 minutes. It'll happen. Trust me. We will all face trouble. I've experienced trouble recently. And I'll tell you the trouble. It's easy to look at God and be like, God, start wagging your finger to like, God, why are you letting me experience this trouble? Remember I said, trouble in the world, peace in him. I did a little thinking back. I did a little bit of, you know, just retracing my footsteps. I was getting real, you know, comfortable being in the troubles of the world. And God used the troubles of the world to bring me back to him. Wish God would use cake and strawberries and Skittles to bring me back to him. but just he does not do that. I don't know why. I'm going to make that recommendation when I get to heaven. He doesn't use cake and Skittles to bring us back to him. He used trouble to get us on our face to pray. He used trouble to bring us back to him. Amen? And even though we go through these troubles, we may feel condemned, but we're never, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He only corrects us. He takes our path and he turns us back the right way. All right? And if you're not in Christ, you're just going to get condemned, but I'll take correction over condemnation every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Amen? Amen? So, this breastplate, you know, I have comfort in knowing that I'm in it, but there's somebody who didn't have comfort, could have used the breastplate. So, I'm going to give you the story. So, Jesus, on the day he was crucified, he had already died. He was hanging there on the cross. And I'm thinking it's Pontius Pilate. They said, break the legs of the thieves. Go ahead and end this, because all that stuff that was happening, sky turning black, dead people walking. He said, go ahead and kill them, break their legs. They go break the legs of the two thieves. They get to Jesus. He was already dead. And so the Roman soldier, he takes the spear, and instead of breaking his legs, which fulfills a prophecy, he takes the spear and he spears him in his side. And out of his side comes both blood and water. Now, there's varying reasons, you know, to like explanations that theologians give. For me, I really like the one that equates it to the stone that Moses struck and water came from it. It was a picture of Jesus's striking. And from the rock came forth water. All right? And from the rock of our salvation came both the blood that atoned for our sin, but also the water that washes us completely. And that's good news. He needed that breastplate more than me, but he took the punishment on my behalf. Water and blood. His blood was spilled, so yours doesn't have to. Then you're cleansed by the water that comes from the rock. Not only are you cleansed, but you're also satisfied. I left that part out about being saved. I'm satisfied. Even though my flesh would tell me otherwise a lot of times, I have to remind myself that the water that flowed from the rock satisfies. It satisfies that thirst. And I will tell you, if you ever find yourself in what we call in the Pentecostal church, the dry place. All right, I don't know if y'all know about the dry place. That dry place is when you don't experience Jesus like you did when you first met him. I'm going to encourage you to go back to that rock. Amen. I'm going to encourage you, because it's flowing. You don't have to strike it. It is flowing. As he told the woman at the well, it is flowing with rivers of living water where you will never thirst again. Amen? Amen? Last body of text we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ God. God was reconciling to the world himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who know no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? So the righteousness of God, much like you should always have your feet ready to preach the gospel. You should always be having on this belt of truth, which holds the sword of, which is the word of God, and this breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. I know this by heart because I tell myself every day to get ready. Get ready. You show up to battle with a ball cap on and a t-shirt, you're not ready. You ain't got the right outfit on. That's why we used to do these inspections. It was always one idiot with the ball, you know, like don't have a helmet. And as the people of God, it's not just for you. In battle, as a congregation and as God's people, do it for the person sitting next to you, because when you get taken out, it hurts all of us. You know, that's one thing on the battlefield. If a person isn't fully dressed, it's not just their problem. If you go down, it's also my problem. And if you go down, I'm not looking at you with disdain or hate. I'm looking at you as a brother, a fallen brother, a sister in Christ, because Jesus says you take such a one and you restore them. I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close out. And I want you guys to really think about this. Every day you get up being prepared. And it's, you don't have to walk around in big old heavy clunky clothes. And it's just being engaged with the war that is before us, but also have peace because God has provided. He has provided the way for you to put off, to defend yourself from the works of the enemy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for just blessing us with this word and this breastplate of righteousness that we didn't provide for ourselves. It was purchased in the blood of Jesus. It was in his righteousness, who knew no sin, so that we can stand before you naked and unashamed, Lord, because you know us. And even though we're flawed, sinful, sometime rebellious, that you have not just on the day of salvation, but every day, Lord God, you continue to clean us, to shape and mold us into the image of your Son, Christ Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And as we get ready to prepare for a time of communion, we just pray that our hearts and minds are properly positioned to commune with you. We love you and thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.